each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome TGIF on this first is this the first Friday in July?
Yes, it is.
And a beautiful, beautiful day in Chicago.
Beautiful it is.
So TGIF, thank God it's Friday. I got a busy weekend coming up, but you know, hopefully everybody will.
Which weekends are not busy?
Weekends are they're always nonstop.
So how you get through?
We got two funerals coming in tomorrow, so I have one at 9, one at 10, and then I think 8 baptisms, and I don't know what else is going on in the afternoon. I know I have the mass in the evening. I don't know if there's a quinceañera yet or a wedding or what, but and anyway, it's just so the church isn't hot as it has been all week. But today is just beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. Even yesterday was a beautiful weather.
Was it?
It wasn't hot.
I was in the office all day yesterday. So, but the I went put some gas in the car and take some stuff to the Salvation Army this morning, which is pretty close to here, and it was just beautiful.
Oh, right here. Yeah, it's close by.
Very nice. So. Anyway, let's pray. Let's pray. Yeah, let's pray. Why don't
pray.
I think that's a good thing to do. We really need to do that. And because we are in the month of July, we'll pray the litany to the precious blood as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
God, our Father in heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Blood of Christ, only Son of the Father, be our salvation. Blood of Christ, incarnate Word,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, of the new and eternal covenant,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ that spilled to the ground,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ that flowed at the scourging,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ dripping from the thorns,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ shed on the cross,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, the price of our redemption,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, our only claim to pardon,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, our blessing cup,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, in which we are washed,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, torrent of mercy,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ that overcomes evil,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, strength of the martyrs,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, endurance of the saints,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ that makes the barren fruitful,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, protection of the threatened,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, comfort of the weary,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, solace of the mourner,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, hope of the repentant,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, consolation of the dying,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, our peace and refreshment,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, our pledge of life,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, by which we pass to glory,
be our salvation.
Blood of Christ, most worthy of honor,
be our salvation.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Lord, you redeemed us by your blood. You have made us a kingdom to serve our God. Let us pray. O God, who by the precious blood of your only begotten Son have redeemed the whole world, preserve in us the work of mercy, so that ever honoring the mystery of our salvation, we may merit to obtain the fruits through Christ our Lord. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. So we got a big weekend coming, then I'm leaving on Monday. My mother's going to turn 91.
Wow.
So I'm going to be there for her birthday the 11th. I do that every year. So I just can't believe that I couldn't believe she turned 90. I can't believe now that she'll be 91.
91.
Sorry, it's really hard to wrap your head around that. But you know, so thank God. She's still around.
And she looks happy. I've seen
she's very the very the peaceful. Yeah. She's very, very peaceful.
Surrounded by her grandkids, her family, and her dogs.
She's got everybody there. She's got she's got 8 children. I'm the only one that's not there. Everybody's within close, within 20 minutes at most, I think.
How was the neighborhood after the hurricane or whatever?
Nick. What? Nick,
oh, wow.
Scare me to death.
Happy birthday to him.
He's trying to set up.
Thank you very much. She appreciates that. That's like the other night I was in the confessional and I keep hearing these big bangs. It's like something was. And I asked one of the fans, I said, what is going on in the church? And she said, the fireworks outside.
Oh, in the park. There was fireworks, yeah. Yes.
So they were. It was.
That's pretty bad.
And then it happened last night, too. This was
yesterday.
Did you hear that great
thing? I heard. Bang? It was. Yeah. I said, well, they're over. Why are they still celebrating?
I was at the altar, and I jumped. Everybody jumped at me. So you heard it. And
I heard it. It was really loud.
I heard it at my house.
It's like a big explosion.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It sounded like it.
Jeez. What were you going to say, Tom?
No, I was going to say, how is the, after the hurricane, was it a hurricane? How is that it's neighborhood?
It's very sad, you know, because it's...
it's never the same.
No. The trees are gone, you know. It looks very barren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Florida, you know, when I was in Miami just, 2 weeks ago for the funeral, I realized Florida is just...
It's flat.
Mm-hmm. So it's Miami was it was nice, but it's humidity though. I tell you, once you get off the plane, that humidity hits you, and that's why I wouldn't live in Florida. That's why these past few days were really hard here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And at least here we know it's gonna go away. but as I was, this was actually my first time in Miami, and so going from the airport to the. To the hotel and into the funeral home, I just realized Florida is Florida. Just all with the palm trees are nice, but mm-hmm. everything is just really, really flat. And the nice thing about the panhandle mm-hmm. is you've got the same ocean. You've got what's the Gulf of Mexico. Miami's on the Atlantic side, but it all looks the same, except we've got the nice pine trees mm-hmm. On the northwest panhandle.
Yeah.
I think throughout the whole northern part of Florida, it's the beautiful pine trees, but the hurricane took them all down. So actually, what I saw in Miami is what I see now in Panama City.
Wow.
It's just everything is flat, and those pine trees, it's going to take a while for them to. I mean, it's not going to be in our lifetime that we're going to see what was there before. So.
And Father, you said that your family, well, you moved around a lot because of your father being in the Air Force.
Right.
Colorado is beautiful because it has the mountains.
Yeah. What?
What? No, because I'm always fascinated because Illinois is kind of flat too.
You're right. Illinois is very flat. It's just we've got the mountain, the skyscraper.
A little bit.
Well, I'm thinking of
the city, the skyline. City, yeah. But I always appreciate when I visit or I am on vacation and I go. Let's say when we go to Mexico. There's the mountains and the hills, because we don't have that here.
Right.
That's why I appreciate that.
People think of Mexico as being desert and all flat, but Mexico is a big country, and you've got just some very, very, Michoacán is just beautiful.
It's beautiful.
You go up where your family's from.
Yes, it's very beautiful.
A five-hour drive up the mountains, it is absolutely beautiful.
Even when we were children, my father, he took us out on vacation. We would travel on the road in the car.
Right.
We did some flying, but in the United States, we went to Pennsylvania. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah.
It is beautiful, and parts of the South, like Arkansas and those areas, beautiful. Because again, the mountain, the hills, and all that, which I appreciate.
You guys, I didn't realize you did a lot of traveling like that.
We did as kids. Yes.
Did you? Tony, you've just kind of stayed in Chicago.
Yeah,
but you go to California
once in a while. That's thanks to Angelica. I mean, I never would want to go on a plane.
So did you ever, up until you married your wife, did you ever go out of Chicago?
Well, Indiana, Wisconsin, that was as far, but never, you know, like Italy or
Mexico.
You don't fly. No, I don't like flying, but. I do.
Do you get nervous when you fly?
Yeah, I get very nervous.
Okay.
Really, some people.
I am very scared.
Really, some people really have a phobia.
A phobia.
For flying.
Angelica hits me with a shoe and knocks me out. So.
To get, I like the takeoff.
Which is the most dangerous part? The takeoff and the landing.
No, the landing is kind of
the landing.
The landing. Well, I like both, but
I dislike them both.
It is dangerous. I know. I understand.
Well, it's safer than cars, you know.
Yeah, that's what they say. But, you know, and with me, it's my ears.
They pop.
Yeah,
they do pop.
It's funny because if I go out of O'Hare, it's sometimes it's a good trip. But if I go, you know, Midway, my ears are always, you know.
Yeah, I don't. I never fly Midway.
Mm. No, I don't care for.
I did. It's always.
I would rather go Midway.
Your brother, because your brother's a flight
attendant.
He's
an air flight attendant,
but he flies out of Chicago.
O'Hare. Yeah, Chicago. His base is Chicago. He was for when he first started. He was his base was New York, but he's an international flight attendant. So he does a lot of Italy. Well, he's an Italian speaker as well, and he does. He's a Spanish speaker, obviously, and he does. A lot of Latin American flights, South America, but most of his flights are Rome. No, he's doing Rome. Right now he's in London. He did a London
flight. So he's more international.
He's international, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think actually the next time I go to Italy, I'll probably fly American because that's all I've been flying to Rochester. So I was just looking today because I had to book a flight for the end of August. They give me all these appointments now. Everything is a little bit different now. But I'll be in Florida next week, and then the following week in Rochester. I'm always here on the weekends, and then I'm in retreat the second week of August, plenary retreat. It means our whole religious community comes together for a retreat. Not the chapter, but it's a retreat.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And then I'll be back in Rochester the last week of August. So I had to take care of that flight this morning. Just finished right before I came down because I have these gift cards. Someone has been very generous and giving me these gift cards.
So you won't have chapter in August? It's going to be retreat?
It's only once every 3 weeks. Every three years.
Oh, okay.
So other than that, we have the retreat. So
the
this
retreats.
Year, it's just a retreat. The chapter is where you're dealing with all the nuts and bolts of
the religious community.
The mission, the community, and all that. So,
okay.
Anyway, I do want to talk about Cardinal Sarah, because we really are passing to we talk about it all the time here, but anywhere you go, this is part of the discussion. Well, as I said, you know, on Sunday at the Mass, I think I was speaking about, and I certainly on the radio, I often speak about this diabolical disorientation that we're passing through, where everything just seems upside down. Now, some people wouldn't think that. They like very much that everything is upside down. but for those who really have a sensitivity to sacred scripture and the sacred traditions of the church, what's come down to us, our dogmas, our doctrines, which are the sublime working of the Holy Spirit. It's what identifies who we are, who God is, who Jesus is, the incarnate God, the whole Paschal mystery, Jesus being fully God, fully man. God took on our flesh in order to basically purify the law, lay out the blueprint, and redeem us. He created us, redeemed us, and he sanctifies us by the grace and the power of the Spirit. And so do we live under the dominion of Christ Jesus, imbued with the Spirit of God, or do we follow the spirit of the world? And that's the grave tension today, where people want to bend the... and you hear this all the time from, and not only lay people, but you hear this from priests and even bishops who think that we can somehow accommodate that we got to read the signs of the times always right within through the prism of sacred scripture and sacred tradition. And I'm not saying that they're not, but certainly one can be misguided, and that's why we've got to really, in all humility, seek not to do our thing or to promote or further our agenda, but that of Christ Jesus. As I've said so many times, and I just always use this as the example, Pope Saint John Paul II, who, when the people protested in Belgium, the Church's teachings on marriage and sexuality and all that, because those are the kind of the hot button issues, it seems, And they burned effigies of the Pope and sent helium-filled condoms and like balloons before the Pope. And Pope John Paul II said, just, you're asking me to do what I haven't the authority to do. I don't have the authority to change these things. But that doesn't in any way mean that, you know, people are being diminished. No, we have to uphold the dignity of all people. But that doesn't mean that, you know, love is not permissive. God's love is a demanding. He says of himself, I'm a demanding God. He's not a permissive God. And the whole of Scripture is a call to repentance, conversion, to metanoia, change of heart, transformation, sanctification. So Cardinal Sara was speaking in Mexico last week at the La Salle University, and very interesting, he proposes these five pieces of advice in the face of the, as he said, crisis of faith in the world. Again, it'd be hard to argue that. So this Cardinal Sara from Africa, I forget what, is he from Nigeria, or Kenya?
I don't remember.
I don't recall. Maybe you can check that out. But
sure.
He's
from Nigeria?
I think so. He was prefect for the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith and was removed by Pope Francis. But a very solid, very, very solid prelate, very solid cardinal. He wrote The Day Is Far Spent, mm-hmm. The Night Draws Near. He wrote a book on silence.
Yeah, that's
yes.
The book I started reading. I
yeah,
that's beautiful.
It. But it's just a profound. In fact, I would love to see him in the papacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but anyway, these are the five. This is the advice he gave to the students at La Salle University, and I think it's good for us to take heed. Number one, you know, how do we, in order to, as we're dealing with this fight, in the face of a crisis of faith and an apostasy, a going away from the faith, he says, number one, the Word of God. The Cardinal invited the participants to prepare themselves with the Word of God in order to be able to fight evil and be well-disposed, citing the biblical passage of Matthew 4, 1-11, when Jesus was led into the desert where he was tempted by Satan. Because when he says man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Cardinal Sara commented that our main weapon in the spiritual battle is the Word, and therefore it is necessary to know it very well. So ignorance of the gospel is ignorance of Christ, Jesus. That's why I say often as I'm reading scripture, I wonder, you know, what do some of these people, what are they reading that they can come up with all these ideas that we can do this or we can do that or whatever, and when it's blatantly contrary to what's written in sacred scripture, or to the implication that Jesus is love. You know, it's the Jesus we... It's not the Jesus of Jesus Christ Superstar. What was the other
Godspell?
You know, the hippie Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, that's it seems to me like right now that seems to be the.
I've never seen that, the Godspell.
Godspell, that was in the 70s. That was way before your time, Christine. I'm sorry.
And look what happened. Look what it took. Where it took us.
So in other words, you know, God is love, and therefore, you know, all that matters is love.
Yeah.
You know, do whatever you want to do. But when you read the scriptures, and you can't, it's not just the Gospels, because you have the four Gospels. You can't. We absolutely cannot understand Christ. We have to. We begin with Jesus, and we read backward into the Old Testament. The Old Testament is indispensable. It's part of the canon of sacred scripture. And so that's the same God of the Old Testament is the God incarnate, Jesus Christ. Yahweh. Jesus is Yahweh. He's the second person of the Trinity, whereas it's a Trinitarian God, one God, three persons in one God. But certainly he purifies the law. There were like 600 and some laws in the Old Testament, but he made it very, very clear that he does not dispense with the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, which are binding on all people for all time. But the whole of the Old Testament is a preparation for the Messianic hour, when God would take on our flesh, and the Messianic hour would be the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, his ascension, and the descent of the Holy Spirit. But you read the Gospels, and you don't have that timid, soft Jesus. He's, as I was saying the other day, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but our leaders today speak to us, they call us adults, but they speak to us as if we're children, mm-hmm. and not in all cases, but in many cases, in order to gaslight, you know, convince. Like often we're convinced. We're somebody asked me, "What does gaslighting mean?" Well, it's when you're manipulated into believing something that is not true, yep. and so mm-hmm. to suggest, you know, for instance, you know, you can bring up all the phobias. Or, you know, that, yeah, you're a white man, Tony, I'm a white man, and we're the problem. And so that's kind of gaslighting into making us believe that, you know, we are, just by virtue of the fact that yeah. we're white, we are the problem, and we are racist and the like. And so you got all these people who are apologizing for being men yeah. and for being white.
Or for today. Example, that you have to apologize, say sorry to me because you're males and I'm a female.
It's going to become everything. We can be apologizing for all kinds of stuff. But, you know, when you say something like that, this always gets me. Okay, so is it only white people that can be this? It's nobody else? I think if you think about this, you know, logically, we as people, every one of us can be sorry for something.
Everybody.
No. And the thing is, if you have the humility to be able to say, I'm sorry for something, you know, but there's people that go on and they actually think, okay, well, let's say I'm black or I'm Hispanic or I'm Chinese, that I can accuse somebody else of something, a whole race.
Or the white man doing the same thing. I mean, you know, this idea. Or for instance, you know, we speak about, as I mentioned yesterday, that the redefining marriage was a Pandora's box.
Exactly. Yeah.
That opened up to all the stuff that we're dealing with now.
And it's funny, if you look back and you think of what people said back then, they were accused of all kinds of things because they said things like, well, like a Pandora's box, you open it, then all bets are off. And aren't we living that right now?
Sure, absolutely. And I mentioned once before, you know, when they were legislating for this, I wrote a letter to our people here and to the school as well, and to the parents, and, you know, that this is why we cannot support this, you know. And I try to be very, very prudent because it's not about people deal with what they have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the backlash on the part of some was really quite strong. And, you know, that you're on the wrong side of love. And yeah, just because you don't support something doesn't mean you hate these people or anything. You know, this is, but that's where the gaslighting is. If you don't support the agenda of this group or that group or whatever ideology that is out there, then you're a hateful, bigoted, phobic.
Mm-hmm. Or intolerant. They say they're intolerant, but once you disagree, then we're intolerant, and they're, so who's the intolerant one
So this idea that Jesus, no judgment, mm-hmm. he's making judgments all the time. Uh-huh. And we as human beings, we have to make judgments, and we have to make judgments based on what is written in sacred scripture. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus, you know, you I guess because of the quote-unquote hippie Jesus, you know, where we, you know, it's we got to go out of our way to prove ourselves to be a loving and an I tell you, if you I pass one of the schools here in Chicago, a Catholic school, and I'm not going to mention the name, but they had on the banners outside, alongside the road, we are diverse, inclusive, and
welcoming.
Welcoming.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Diverse and inclusive. And I said, well, then that already tells, those are red flags for me.
Yeah,
already,
yeah.
You know?
The fact you have to say that, what does that tell you?
Right. Yeah. Because the reality is that we're called to repent. We're called to conversion. We're called to transformation. We're called to sanctification. And if a person, yes, we would want, you know, Jesus died for everybody, but there has to be a response.
Yeah.
And that means why was he crucified? Because, you know, he was a thorn in the side of the people. He was the conscience of the people. And if they, you know, we don't want to change.
Mm-hmm.
We want to continue down this path that brings us to our own condemnation. He's calling us out of our own darkness into his light, out of an enslavement into freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so the language that he uses is very strong language. Now, his greatest attribute, no doubt, is mercy. But he did say, he says, you know, this is a very difficult, narrow path that you're being called to walk. If you can stay on this road, you know, and Peter said, well, Lord, how can man be saved? And he said, but for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. But our faith is a discipline. And it's, again, God is not, you'll read this through the whole of the Gospels. We can't superficialize or make shallow the person of Jesus. Again, I say this often now. He wasn't crucified because he was tiptoeing through the tulips.
The soft Jesus.
The soft Jesus. No, he sweat blood in the Garden
mm-hmm.
of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the point is that the cardinal says we've got to, as we confront the crisis of faith, we've got to read ourselves. I'm using these words because we got to read ourselves mm-hmm. into the pages of sacred scripture. We've got to put ourselves in the story and respond in love to God's love and gratitude that we've been created, redeemed, and we've been called to a very high standard. And again, ignorance of the Word of God is ignorance of God, ignorance of Christ. So that was one. The other one is prayer. This very fundamental weapon is prayer in confronting the crisis of faith. Pope Benedict, he says, gave us a great lesson, the power of prayer in the last 10 years of his life. So he encourages not to stop praying, going to Mass, going to confession. He says, today we urgently need to reappropriate these divine gifts. I mean, Jesus says, you got to pray constantly, unceasingly. St. Paul says, unceasingly, pray constantly. Have God always ever present in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. So prayer is absolutely indispensable. If you don't pray, you're not going to... Again, through prayer, we nurture intimacy, intimacy with Christ. The rosary, the weapon that binds us to God, the chain that binds us to God. The Holy Mass is the highest act of prayer. How do we participate and assist in the Mass? We offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. I go back to these, which is all it's what we do. You know, Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. The Mass is the manifestation. The perpetuation of the Messianic hour, the hour of mercy, the hour of our salvation. So, Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. It's a renewing our covenant with God, our fiat, our yes to the Lord. I offer my life to you. Here I am. speak, your servant listens. You know, come Holy Spirit, fill me with your spirit. We have to be disposed and receptive in prayer to the inner working of God's spirit. He speaks to the inner life, and it's all related, right? When we withdraw to the desert of the interior life, you have to go into that inner sanctum of the soul. We discern the truth that creation is at war with man, who pretends to heal the ecology and the defense of the environment, but at the same time promotes abortion, euthanasia, and homosexuality, warned the African cardinal. He would be... you think about this in our country, if you were to go to university and speak like this, he'd be... he'd be booed off the stage. Mm-hmm. But he says, no, we have to withdraw into the desert, the interior life, and discern the truth, because God is truth. And then he says, silence. In silence, we have to be silent. We have to find, create space for silence. Because in silence, we enter into the presence of God in our hearts. All these are related. In silence, all the noises, the distractions, even the most legitimate concerns are opportunely relativized, placed in relation to the cross, and there the light of the gospel appears, that everything is offered to God, including ourselves. Modern man, he says, has started a terrible war against God and against man, a satanic war. This is why the spiritual battle with evil is part of the Christian life. He says the West has forgotten God and seeks only fleeting pleasures. This is generated more and more isolated individuals with a great existential emptiness. So true. Mm. So true. And then finally, he says, inner struggle. So much of the reality today. The current and daily struggle is in our hearts, and it is, as St. Paul says, against the spirits of evil. The demons seek at all cost my ruin and my estrangement from God. It is imperative today to discipline the mind and heart by fixing our gaze on the cross. Didn't Jesus say, pick up your cross and follow me? Again, the world will deceive us, a world that doesn't acknowledge God. The free reign of the flesh, which is, again, just seems to be the... it's as if we've morphed into this kind of unreality that we're not capable of. We talked about this yesterday on the Feast of St. Maria Goretti, that we're not capable of chastity or virginity. We don't value those virtues, and yet it's about a true interior freedom, and also adding to the proper ordering of life in a disordered world. And it is a struggle, and it goes back to, one of you said this, the humility, that there's got to be humility that acknowledges. Humility is acknowledging that I can't do this without God. I need God's grace. And it brings us back to the very things he's talking about, in interior life, prayer, being immersed in the Word of God, reading ourselves into the Word of God, silence, so that we, and isn't that the call and the why of our church doors being open 24/7, the sanctuary, that the cacophony, as a lady would, the call that comes from our the Blessed Virgin Mary to us here, open those doors, that the cacophony of the world, the rude noise of the world, will not shout into silence the voice of the living God. So the current and daily struggle is in our hearts. And it is, as St. Paul says, against the spirits of evil. The demons seek at all costs to ruin our strength and to bring us away from God. It's imperative today to discipline the mind and heart by fixing our gaze on the cross.
And you know, people say, well, I'm not ready to give up this or give up that. It's impossible. But it doesn't work that way. In the ways of the world, that's the mentality. But in the ways, the spiritual ways of God, of our Lord, we, again, like you said, we have to be humble and ask him for the grace, and he will give us the grace, and it comes naturally. It's not like we are giving that up. He will give us the grace to,
but you
to
just,
have the...
Yeah.
But you have to have the humility, you know.
But
it starts
but,
with
but
the
you
humility.
Said it with the problem is we don't want the change.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want to make the change. We don't want to pass through purgation, because life is a purgative experience. In order that we're being transformed, in order that we're being sanctified, that we're maturing, that we're becoming that we by God's grace we grow into the people God created mm-hmm. us to be, you know, that we're created in the image and likeness of God and His beauty and goodness. He created us. He loved us into life, but we're born into a world that suffers the consequences of original sin. So the world is, by its very nature, disordered. And but we're called out of this disordered, out of this disorder into an ordered life. Mm-hmm. And it's not only for our own personal freedom, genuine freedom and salvation, but for that of others as well.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm too young, that's for the older people. I mean, you hear it so often. Oh, that's for the old people, you know.
You know, what's really interesting today is, and I've been in discussions with so many people recently, for a long time, but it just seems like it's more and more mm-hmm. I hear this, where although there are young people who get it,
mm-hmm.
but there are so many who, I mean, absolutely despise and want nothing to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
And often, if their parents are God-fearing people, God-centered people, they want nothing to do, mm-hmm. to do with their parents. So that there are parents who haven't, and this is not, these aren't isolated cases, but parents who haven't had any, the children are completely estranged from their parents. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to be...
They want nothing to do...
To do with the parents.
No. Which is sad.
It sounds demonic. That's what it actually is.
It's very sad. Or they blame the parents. There's two different cases where the parents, they did not teach them the faith. So the children have no idea. They have don't know anything about God, Jesus, nothing. On the other hand, there are parents that did teach them the faith. Like my parents, that they took us to church and we practiced the faith. And I thank God for that. And there are children that had that opportunity and they despise their parents for that. Oh, we were forced to go to church against my will. And then they resent their parents for that. There's cases like that, too.
No, of course. I've exactly. But why this disdain for God?
Sure.
Or this disdain for all that is sacred? And again, it comes from within the church as well. You know, it's just like our worst enemies are within and not without.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a, as we say, a diabolical disorientation. But finally, we'll take a break here and wrap up. But Cardinal Sarah pointed out that the human being struggles to protect nature, but at the same time destroys man.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It destroys marriage, life, and rejects accepting his own identity as man or woman. God has created us male or female, and today we say that each one can choose whether to be male or female. The Cardinal affirmed that with transhumanism, we want to augment man to make man a machine, a superman, perhaps deluding ourselves with the idea of becoming immortal, invincible, super intelligent, super powerful, of making man a god.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, these are just some of the things that the Cardinal Sarah spoke in at the LaSalle University and speaking to these young people about how to face the crisis of faith that has really enveloped the world, a diabolical
yes.
disorientation.
He's from Guinea, by the
from,
way.
Okay, Guinea. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and then wrap up. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear winds of change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link. Winds of Change would like you to know that July is the month we honor the precious blood of Jesus, falling right between June's devotion to the Sacred Heart and August's devotion to the Immaculate Heart. July is an ideal time to connect our devotion to Jesus and Mary, as well as to heighten our connection to the blood of the Lamb of God.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, everybody. Who was that, by the way?
Bishop
Whose
Fulton
voice
Sheen.
Was that?
Fulton Sheen.
Oh, was that one?
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking of something.
I was wondering
was
what happened to the mitre. We had the mitre.
It's in Libertyville.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's actually with Angela, who is kind of, how would I say, we're on EWTN Network, and she kind of oversees that. So just kind of by way of wrap up, you know, as we're going into the weekend, Jesus, you'll hear this on Sunday, he declares in the gospel that a prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own home. As you know, Jesus was rejected. And it's interesting when you think about the Lord. They sent out to destroy him in the city of David where he was born in Bethlehem. He was rejected in his hometown, Nazareth, where he was raised, and he was crucified in the holy city in Jerusalem. Actually, they had to crucify him outside the walls of the city, but it was in the holy city where he was interrogated, put on trial, and declared worthy of crucifixion, or not worthy, but that He was guilty of insurrection, mm-hmm. causing insurrection. You had the people of faith again, just like today. You know, it's the state, the church, different. Right?
Sure. It's the same.
The story repeats itself.
Yep. When you read in the years I've started to really read the gospel, read mm-hmm. the Bible, and you go from book to book, and you see how today it's no different.
The same story.
Yep.
Just. Mm-hmm. Gospels rewritten in every generation.
Do we relearn? Do we learn from our mistakes? I don't think so.
St. Paul says that, you'll hear this on Sunday as well, that whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. As our nation just celebrated Independence Day last week, or this week. In the midst of so much turmoil and social unrest, we do want to ask ourselves whether or not we hold Christ at the center of life and whether or not we consciously hold ourselves to the high standard of a freedom that allows all people to live in peace. As faithful Catholics, it should be apparent to us that the nation's present and future well-being depends on our choice to remain a moral, prophetic, and religious people. The Declaration of Independence holds these truths as a basis for the founding of our nation. As St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians reminds us that we've been called to freedom, but not, and this is where, this is the whole misconception people have today, but not as an opportunity for the flesh, rather to serve one another through love. The whole law of God is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and spirit, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And St. Paul warns us that the flesh has desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are opposed one to another. And so what does he say? The works of the flesh are obvious. Mm-hmm. And as I'm saying this, when God looks into our nation, what does he see? The works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outburst of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. Orgies. I keep thinking of that. Those photos I saw of those old men twerking in the parade.
Wow.
Naked, basically, in the face of these little children. Those who do such things, as St. Paul says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I think most people live in such a way, but it doesn't take many to one bad apple destroys a whole bushel basket of apples, right? So as we look around, what do we see? Scripture speaks of the dangers of the last days, describing terrifying times, saying that people will be self-centered, lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, implacable, slanderous, licentious, brutal, hating what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, as they make a pretense of religion but deny its power. Interesting as you look into our world, right?
Yes.
These are warnings that run through the words of the prophet Ezekiel and the writings of St. Paul. You hear this on Sunday. Both reflect Christ's own prophetic utterances. It should be obvious to us that unless we experience a metanoia, a true change of heart toward God, we reap what we sow. I mean, people make no mistake. God is not going to be mocked. For a person will reap only what he sows. The one who sows for his own flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows for the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. This is, you'll hear this on Sunday in the readings. What St. Paul writes with regard to the individual applies as well to the family and to the nation. Well, there are many things we'd like to change for the better, and certainly in accord with God's law and God's love. When all is said and done, responsibility for change really rests with each and every one of us, with the individual. So St. Paul encourages us not to tire of doing good. He says, for in due time we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up. He reminds us that while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all. And Jesus knows what we're up against. He calls us to himself that in the midst of life's labor, burdened as we are, in him we will find rest. Our frustration is knowing that the wise and the learned are too often blind and deaf to the hidden things that make for true nobility and grace. The gift of faith is available to everybody. The question is, do we have, it goes back to this, do we have the humility to receive it? Or does our pride keep us entrapped and enslaved under the dominion of the evil one? Because we cannot serve two masters. And truly, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So we pray for the conversion of our nation from all things opposed to God. And this, again, this conversion begins with each and every one of us. We pray that God bless us with the grace that he gave the prophet Ezekiel to live in such a way that, as quoted in the reading, a rebellious nation knows prophets have been among them. That our power be perfected, that his power, God's power, be perfected in us, that he give us the courage to be content with any persecution or hardship we may suffer for the sake of Christ. And indeed, that's the trajectory in our day and our time. Again, some know it, others are just content with the way things are. And that's what's really frightening, is that we lose our sensitivity to the things of God, the sacred things of God, and therefore lose our sensitivity to sin. And this is the great spiritual battle that is unfolding in our day and our time. And most especially, we know it's part of the reality of those enemies of the soul, the world, the flesh, the free reign of the flesh, and the devil. But when it comes from within, the mystical body or the institution of the church, it becomes really rather frightening, because the nefarious forces that seek to accommodate or appease the world as if somehow it's kind of a mere humanism, as opposed to the supernatural, the transcendent. So we're out of time. I would give you guys a chance to say something, but I think we're coming to the end, and let's, you got something to say. Humility, let's just say humility is key, right? Yes. The antithesis of pride is humility, acknowledging my need for God.
So this should be the month of humility, since we had the month of
triumph. Wash us in your precious blood, O Lord. Almighty God, bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you, child.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.